Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
A D-list scammer. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
Beverly Wood man has been arrested by the FBI for allegedly running a $250 million Ponzi scheme. Investigators say Zachary Horwitz, who uses the screen name of Zach Avery, told investors he'd use their money to acquire licensing rights to films that HBO and Netflix had agreed to distribute abroad. Instead, investigators say Horwitz used the money to pay other investors and buy a $6 million house in Beverly Wood. Horwitz has been charged with wire fraud. If convicted, he could get up to 20 years in prison.
This one is relatively current. Definitely showed up on many timelines on my internet because it involved an actor and a Ponzi scheme. And I've been watching a lot of Generation Hustle on HBO. Do you ever watch Generation Hustle?
I haven't.
The Con on Hulu.
Okay.
And of course, you know, listening to one of our favorite podcasts, or one of my favorite, and I think we both like, Swindled.
Sure.
You know, little white collar crime, for the most part. And this is how an actor, a relatively unknown actor, which is makes the story exciting, scammed a lot of people for a lot of money, and the examples he used are baffling to me. That's what makes it so interesting, and I'm going to get to that part.
Ooh, baby.
So Zach Horwitz, who you may or may not know as Zach Avery, actor, and you've seen a lot of IMDb pages, you've met a lot of actors, you've seen – he's a very typical of what you would say a – early 30s actor with dark hair.
Got it.
Looks like sometimes with a beard, sometimes not.
Diversity.
And, you know, they really kind of play up being in D movies. And that is true. But also, I mean, so do a lot of people. It's definitely taken as a negative to stick it to this dude. And, you know, that's great. But, you know, there's people that have failed a lot worse. And I've been in some D level movies. But also some no-level movies, too. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
And also in some D-level podcasts.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Keep that in mind. So he was in, you know, he was in a movie with Brian Cox was in it, Samara Weaving. Was she in, is it Ready or Not? You ever seen Ready or Not? About the, she gets married and the game is, the family's like, they invented a game like Clue.
Okay.
And she has to survive the night.
I still would not. I'm looking at her face right
now.
Yeah,
she's been in a lot of movies. She's really, really good. She's great. So, you know, he's – and some movies I've, you know, never heard of. But I think maybe being in a movie with some decent – it lends to some credibility. So he's not by any means – I'm just going to give him some credit. Like, I think they really kind of stick it to him that he's a D-list actor. But he defrauded people. What I always say when I see a lot of these scammers beside bad is – that they are intelligent in a way that they've – and I think it's more than just surrounding yourself with marks or rubes or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it takes a little more than that because that's a lot of money for people to part with.
Mm-hmm.
So he was arrested very recently on a Ponzi scheme that and you know might be up to 20 years in prison. He had a company, one in MM Capital, and their thing was they bought distribution rights – and sold them to HBO and Netflix in Latin America.
Okay.
So it's taking something that's like, that sounds legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Also things that I feel like could be easily vetted in
the
last couple of years. But I think it's probably a combination of a couple of things. People with big bank accounts or people that just trust the dude because he also defrauded his own friends.
Jeez.
So a pretty soulless person knowing that. And maybe in his mind, what's a Ponzi scheme, he's like, no, I definitely can get my friends back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess, you know, the movie life was not, but, you know, you meet enough people, you know, I don't know if they just were like, well, you were in these movies with these people and you seem like you're in the know. Mm-hmm. We're back at home. You know, you're Mr. Hollywood. You know, they come back. He's like, I mean, look at Mr. Hollywood. We call Brian Cox. And he's like, no.
Yeah. And but also like how to be fraudulent around distribution rights. On one hand, I'm like, oh, I get it. Cause like, it's such an amorphous, like you just sign a bunch of documents. Then you get, you know, a master copy of it, I guess, or not. Like, I don't know how that works.
You're buying – for this, mm-hmm. It seems like you're buying into – like you're buying equity into or shares into this thing. It's like if we have this movie and we sell the distribution rights to HBO or Netflix for Latin America, mm-hmm. and I don't understand like why that – if the company – if HBO is like, sure, we'll buy that, mm-hmm. why do you need money? I don't understand like that – part of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it might be like, oh, so if HBO Netflix is buying it off you, why do you need my money? But maybe he's has to buy the rights from the movie holders. I think that maybe he buys the right, but it's like, hey, can I buy this movie? HBO is gonna wants to distribute. They're like, oh, well, we don't care. So just get the, I don't know, like you're an intermediary of it, but
yeah.
And so people are just investing in it, and then they would get, you know, they would make money on that. But he never bought any movie rights. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. He never even had a relationship with HBO or Netflix.
What?
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God.
But how many times have you been around people who, I got this Netflix is looking at this thing.
Yeah, it's like bullshit, whatever.
It's whatever, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I still am not quite sure how this Ponzi scheme would work, except for him just taking money from friends and saying that they could be involved in distributing a movie.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the – if he was taking it, but it seems like he was spending it. So it's not even like, oh, like I'm going to take it, I'm going to invest it, I'm going to flip it, and I can pay people back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like there's really any of that. So he paid some old debts. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
So they claim that he raked in $690 million through his company. I don't know what the number is. Maybe they settled on $227, but here's what he bought. It was a lot of donations to charities. $124,000 on trips to Las Vegas. That's a nice charity. Almost $2 million on American Express credit card bills.
Hmm.
So American Express got theirs. So that's
they
good.
Certainly did.
$165,000 on high-end automobiles. $137,000 on private jets.
PJs.
$54,000 on a luxury watch subscription service. This is why I kind of like, I was just like, oh, you know.
Oh, icing on the cake.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
And he used it to buy a 6-bedroom, 8-bathroom house in Beverlywood. Mm-hmm. $5.5 million.
Okay.
Had a gym, wine cellar, home theater, private pool.
Of course.
It's for sale now, so. And $70,000 to celebrity interior designer Lonnie Paul that came straight from his investors.
Wow.
The movies that he said that he was purchasing. Mm-hmm. Dear White People.
Oh, okay.
Good movie. And this one got snubbed at the Oscars. The Hottie and the Naughty with Paris Hilton.
I should rewatch that.
Well, If you were like, I hope it's streamed in Latin America, not happening in this case. You'll have to watch it here. And maybe that made it more realistic that like, hey, listen, you know, I know these are crappy movies, but they're cheap, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah,
big
probably.
Money, hustle money, grind and hustle, hustle and grind. And then, you know, you're thirsty. Listen, they shouldn't be duped, but, you know, it's other thirsty people that are willing to believe this dude. They're probably somewhat similar to him.
Also, like, I mean, people don't know how this works. I don't know how this works. I bet there's only a small percentage of people that actually know how this type of licensing internationally works. So I think preying off of people's ignorance and maybe, you know, their optimism around making a quick buck.
Well, one of them that really sold them was Monster Island, the Carmen Electra helmed film.
Amazing.
About a vacation to the Bermuda Triangle and becoming trapped with only an MTV crew to help them stay alive.
Only one MTV crew to help you stay alive? That's ludicrous.
And listen, this is nothing against Carmen Electra. She's fine. You know, I'm honestly not bagging on these movies, but it's like, this is what, and this maybe makes it more believable. I don't know where he picked. He's just kind of like, it's too random. Because, you know, if everything was like Marvel movies and Quentin Tarantino movies, it'd be like, I think they have their own
chill
thing.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, what I'm doing is I'm buying up low rent stuff.
Yeah.
That, listen, you know, in America, we don't care. But, you know, they say like, you know, a movie comes out later in another country.
Yeah.
And I almost kind of get that. I just don't know how he picked these. He impersonated executives at HBO and Netflix. I don't know if he was just emailing himself. It's probably one of those things.
Or maybe these were movies that he had some kind of peripheral involvement or knowledge of someone else who was involved in it. So when he talked about it, he could seem a little bit more knowledgeable about it. I don't know.
And one of the largest investors came from JJMT Capital, a Chicago-based firm that gave him more than $485 million from 2015 to 2019.
Whoa.
And two of the co-founders were good friends with him. They met when they were studying at Indiana University. And he got friends, family, business contacts to buy into his operation. And he defaulted on all his payments, left them hanging. And he owes JJMT roughly $160 million. So he probably would... barring from, you know, he was he was Ponzi-ing, but like you saw with those big spends, you run out of people to Ponzi.
Yeah, exactly. Like that money is not forever because people eventually will get suspicious. And how many people can you realistically hit up?
How dare you drag the hottie and naughty into this?
Sacred.